Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and I just trust that the Lord is blessing this little simple study of the book of Acts to your own heart and mind. It's an amazing thing to me how God can take scriptures and make them real to one's heart when that heart is open to God. Sometimes we come to the Bible with our preconceived ideas and quite often miss that which God has for us. Now we're in the book of Acts chapter 8, and we're starting in at verse 5. We have just finished discussing this matter of Stephen, the first martyr in the church, and of his great message and of the opposition to that message and of how he was stoned to death and of how heaven received him and how the Lord Jesus stood at the right hand of God. And I think personally, not only waiting to receive Israel if they would accept the testimony of the gospel, but to receive the first Christian martyr. Now we come to chapter 8, and we find the gospel now going beyond the confines of Jerusalem. May I remind you again that the Lord Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power, the Spirit of God coming upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." But you see, this stayed round Jerusalem. And on the stoning of Stephen, there was a great persecution against the church, and they were scattered everywhere. Except the apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem. The rest went out, and some went as far as Antioch with the message of the gospel. We shall see that a little later. Now, starting in at verse 5, we have the message going down to Samaria. The result of the persecution was that the gospel went over to Samaria, to the despised Samaritans. Now I'm going to take the time to read this portion so you have the whole story in your mind. We read, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. There was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man, that is, this man Simon, is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that for a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither lot nor part in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, You pray the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Now, let me just stop here for a few moments. Here you have the ministry leaving Jerusalem and going down to Samaria. Now, you remember the Samaritans and the Jews didn't have any fellowship one with the other. You remember in John chapter 4, we read the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Do you remember the woman at the well saying to Jesus, "You a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan woman?" The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But I'll tell you what Christians do. I don't care who the people are, what condition they're in. Those of us who love the Savior, we have dealings with everyone who needs the Lord. Now, there was great blessing, there was great joy in Samaria through the preaching of Philip. Let me just concentrate and bring it right down in a few words. Philip preached unto them Christ. Now, it's possible that most of those to whom he preached may have heard about the Lord Jesus. You remember in John chapter 4 of how the woman, after she met Jesus, went back to the city of Sychar, and she brought all the men with her. "Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And you remember when the woman was talking to Jesus, she said to Jesus, "When Messiah comes, when the Christ comes, he'll tell us all things." Jesus said, "I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Christ." So she went and brought the men out to Jesus, and they believed on the Lord, not just for the woman's sake, for the word she had, but they heard him themselves. And there was great joy and blessing because of those who had come believing on the Savior. I say there could have been many who knew about that situation. So Philip went down and he preached Christ unto them. Now, it's a very simple statement, but I would suggest that he preached the gospel of how the Lord Jesus came. It was a common thing for them to say about how the Lord came doing many wonderful things, as you have it in Acts chapter 2. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by signs and wonders and miracles, which God did by him in the midst of you, and how you took him by wicked hands and crucified and buried him, and the Lord raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand to be a prince and a savior." So I'm sure that Philip had something to say about that. You see, he preached the word of God, and he preached the kingdom of God. And the result was that a great many people accepted. His message was accompanied by wonders. You have that in verse 7. You have it in verse 13. See, friend, remember that in these first few chapters of Acts, the early churches are dealing with those in Israel. And the Samaritans, you remember, were related to Israel. They were possibly a mixture of the Jews who were left behind at the scattering of Judah in the 70 years captivity. The poor were left behind. And then you remember the Babylonians sent colonists in to colonize the country. And these people mixed up with the colonists, so you've got a mixture of Jew and Gentile. That's why the Jews despised the Samaritans. All the Samaritans had was what we call the Samaritan Pentateuch. So you have this question. "And a great many believed and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." You'll notice that. "And even Simon the sorcerer," this man who was called the power of God, he manifested himself and got his place of publicity and standing through his sorceries. He was a deceiver. And it says here in verse 30, "And he believed, and he was baptized when he saw the miracles and signs which were done." Because this man who was called by the Samaritans the power of God, Philip did things that Simon couldn't do. Philip was used by the Spirit of God to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and so on. Now, when in Jerusalem they heard that the gospel had gone to the Samaritans, and you see, Philip had no trouble with that. You see here the grace of God. And by the way, you know, this story of Philip could be multiplied, I am sure, in that day. God just gives us samples of what was being done at that time. Now, Philip was a Hellenistic Jew too, just like Stephen. And so Philip would not have that antipathy toward the Samaritans that the people of Jerusalem would have, or the people in Judea would have. So he went out to Samaria and preached the gospel. As I say, there's no barriers. When one's a Christian, you go out and give the gospel to those who need to be saved. But as yet, I read, as yet the Spirit of God had come upon none of them. And they sent, or I should say, when those at Jerusalem heard about it, they sent to them Peter and John. These two apostles again came down. And I read, as yet the Spirit of God had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Peter and John laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now I know there are those who teach that the receiving of the Spirit of God comes after salvation. And this is one of the places this is one of the scriptures they use. Here were the Samaritans. They had believed on the Lord Jesus. They had been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. But as yet they had not yet received the Spirit of God. And they had sent, and Peter and John were sent down there that they might receive the Spirit of God. All right, my friend, if that is true, if you're going to go on that ground, how are you going to send for Peter and John to come down that you might receive the Spirit of God? Please, if you're going to take the whole business. Why didn't they speak in tongues down here in Samaria? They spoke in tongues in Acts 2. They spoke in tongues in Acts 10. They spoke in tongues in Acts 19. Again, allow me to remind you, four different ethnic groups in the book of Acts: Israel, Samaritans, Gentiles, the Jews of the diaspora, which is in chapter 19. Philip was a Hellenistic Jew. He wasn't a Palestinian Jew. He was a Hellenistic Jew, one of the seven chosen in chapter 6. And he preached the gospel, baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. But the Samaritans must recognize the position of the Jews in God's economy. They must recognize the apostleship of men like Peter and John. They must be tied in to the Church of Christ, which was started at Jerusalem. Now, here's them moving of the Spirit of God. Why, you say, why didn't they speak in tongues? Because there were no unbelieving Jews present. You remember that? In Isaiah 28, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, Israel. Yet for all that they will not hear me. And in the book of Acts, every time they spoke in tongues in the book of Acts, you have unbelieving Jews present. You have them in Acts 2. You have them in Acts 10. You have them in Acts 19. When we come to those two chapters, I will mention it again. To prove to you that tongues was a special sign of the presence of God to the unbelieving Jews in chapter 2, chapter 10, chapter 19. Why not in chapter 8? Because there were no unbelieving Jews present. As I say, these Samaritans were part Jews and part Gentiles. But they had to acknowledge the position that Jews have in the economy of God. You remember Jesus said to the Samaritans, to the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. So they must recognize their position. So Peter and John went down, laid hands on them, and they received the Spirit of God. Now you've got something else in the passage. When Simon the sorcerer saw that by the laying on of hands people received the Spirit of God, he offered Peter and John money that they might give him the power to lay hands upon people that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And you remember Peter said, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You've got neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. May I ask the question? Sometimes this question is asked to me. Do you really believe that Simon the sorcerer was a Christian? that he was a saved man. Now in verse 13 I read, "And Simon himself believed and was baptized." Peter down here says, "You got neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. I perceive you're in the bond, in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity." Those who believe Simon was saved will take verse 13. Those who believed he was not saved will take verses 20 down through verse 23. Let me just suggest something to you. And I'm not going to be dogmatic one way or the other concerning that, except to say this. You'll notice as you read the story that this man, Simon the sorcerer, who had been called the power of God, a man who had tremendous influence in Samaria. Along came this man, Philip, preached the gospel. God used him in the performing of miracles. Signs and wonders were done. A great many people were saved and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Simon was no longer the center of attraction. He didn't like that. He went along, was baptized, and he may have believed. I don't know. I don't know his heart. But I know one thing. He was concerned about one person, and that was himself. Even after he'd been baptized, he wanted the power to impart the Spirit of God. In other words, Simon the sorcerer was the center of attraction in his own heart. I question very much up to this time that Simon had any real, genuine love for the Savior. He was in love with one man, Simon the sorcerer. He boosted himself, he was out for himself, he was concerned about himself, and he wanted power, what for? To boost Simon the sorcerer, so that when I lay my hands on him, they'd receive the Holy Spirit. You know, I can't help but ask the question, it's possible for a person to make a profession and be baptized and join a church and yet never know the Savior. I'd like to ask you a question, friend. Is your faith in Christ real? Is your faith in Christ real? Is Jesus Christ the center of attraction in your heart and life? This is what I'm after. This is what I'm after. It's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you. Are you occupied with yourself? It's true, I have met some real believers, and I know they're real believers, who are so occupied with themselves, the Lord doesn't have much swing in their life, not much place in their life. But God, I can leave them in the hands of the Lord. The Lord will deal with them. Don't you do it. You'll spoil it. You let God deal with them. It's a wonderful thing that he went out to Samaria and preached the gospel, and a great multitude of people believed. Oh, the power of the gospel transformed lives, to take men and women and transform them into the saints of God. So I'm going to leave that with you. Philip went down and preached, and a great many were saved. Now I want you to mark the rest of the story. Verse 26, 27, 28. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose, and he went." I want you to mark this. Here's a man in a real red-hot, can I use the term? A real red-hot revival. And God takes him right out of that revival and sends him down into the wilderness to talk to one man. Notice how the thing goes. Stoning of Stephen, the gospel going to Samaria. Now the God is going to get that gospel to a man who's going back to Africa. And the Lord, you notice, the Lord is the one who's guiding this thing. The Lord is the one on the throne. What he wants is obedient disciples. Now you and I would have said, "Lord, you're making a mistake here. You're making a mistake." Philip is the tool being used to bring Samaria to the gospel of Christ. He's the man who's being used to perform miracles and signs and wonders. Through him, a great company of people have come to know the Savior. They're enthusiastic for the things of God. And Peter and John have been in the midst of them, and they've received the Spirit. If any man should stay in Samaria and guide these precious babes in Christ, it should be Philip. No. God says, "I want you to go down to the south. I've got a man going back to Africa, and he's going down through the wilderness, and I want you to go." Now, he didn't tell him that. He said, "I want you to go south into the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gezer, which is a desert." And he arose and went. I'm reminded of Abram. You remember what Abram did? God said to Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, get out and go to a land that I will show thee, and I'll be with thee, and I'll bless you, and so on. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Where are you going, Abraham? Well, I'm going down here up to Haran, and from there, I don't know. But the one who told me to get out, I'm sure, will tell me where to go. Again, we come to that thing. God's present with his people, wherever they are. I don't care what happens tomorrow, or a week from now, or 6 months from now. He wants me to walk with him today. He wants me to be obedient. Philip could have said to God, it's taken me out of this revival, Lord? Yes, I want you to go down to the desert. He asked no questions. He obeyed. Oh, God, give us men today. Give us people today who will be simple in their obedience to the Savior. Can't you and I be one? So let's just be obedient for God today, shall we? Never mind about tomorrow. Today, let's worship God today, walk with him, be obedient to his word today, and the Lord richly, wonderfully bless you for his name's sake.